HealthLink on Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Well, if you're like me, you've heard and maybe even used the old bedtime salutation, good night, sleep tight, and don't let the bedbugs bite. And thought to yourself, bedbugs, oh, they're a thing of the past. But not anymore. No, bedbugs are back. In fact, bedbug infestations are on the rise, and not just in the high-profile fancy hotels in New York City that have made the headlines, and not just in this country. They're on the rise worldwide. Perhaps due to the bug's resistance to our modern-day pesticides, as well as to the increase in worldwide travel, but regardless of the reasons, they're back and they're everywhere. So exactly what are these creatures and how do we face this public health challenge? And are they back for good? Well, joining me this morning as part of our continuing series, Public Health Today, with some of the answers is Dr. Donna Bakke, Associate Professor and Chair of Public Health and Preventive Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Bakke. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, is this truly an epidemic or is it just some media blitz?
No, it really is an epidemic. We've been noticing this over the last several years, particularly in places where there are large populations and large numbers of hotels and public gathering places, like big cities.
So is it, and it seems like it's not just happening in the U.S., it seems like it's happening worldwide.
It is, and I think you touched on something, and that one of the things is that there's much more international and domestic travel. So if you come in contact with bed bugs in a hotel one place and you're traveling somewhere else or you're traveling home, you're bringing them with you. You know, before people used to drive in their car, they didn't drive as far, they didn't go that many places.
So it's really the globalization of the world that's made all of these kind of pests become global citizens.
Right, it is. And then the other thing, too, is just like with other bacteria, we know, you know, there's a lot of resistance of bacteria that cause pneumonia to antibiotics. The same things happen with bed bugs. They're getting resistant to the normal pesticides that have been used in the past.
You know, I read somewhere that, well, I guess there was at one time there were bed bugs more common in this country, and I think then there was a drop somewhere in the mid of the 20th century, and now obviously they're on the rise again. But I've read somewhere, not only in the regard with regard to bed bugs, but also some of the work that's been done with dengue fever, and we had an interview on this show, that once we stopped using DDT in this country, that's when a lot of these pests basically started increasing.
Yes, that was a very, very powerful pesticide, but it also did terrible things to humans, and so that's why we stopped. But, you know, they have become resistant to the other pesticides that we've been using. And the other thing, too, is people have become complacent because it wasn't an issue, you know, in the mid 20th century. And now it's become an issue and people just have to recognize it and be a little more careful.
Yeah, you know, it's I read somewhere also that it's also the techniques that they're using. At one point, you know, they were just spraying, you know, with these pesticides. Now they're trying to bait the animals or bait the insects, and I guess for some reason bed bugs are either too smart or too dumb, but they're not taking the bait, so that's part of the problem too.
Yeah, that's also part of the problem.
Now, I also understood that there was maybe another reason could be that there's been a decline in the emphasis on pest control programs through public health agencies for funding, and does that go along with this idea of complacency?
Well, I think that's more a funding issue. You know, when you have to prioritize what things are more important, and if you don't see it in your community, if you don't see a significant number of pests, then some of these kind of communal pesticide eradication programs are no longer taking place. Once it comes up again, then the community may focus on it, but that may be another reason why. In part, a lot of it is because of funding, and you have to prioritize what your needs are in your community.
That makes a lot of sense. So where do we generally find them?
Well, they generally are found in mattress seams. You know, if you open up take the sheets off a mattress and look at the seams on the outside, or even the little seams, the little decorative seams that are across the bed. But they can be on the furniture, you know, the bed frame. They can be on the sideboard. They can be on the clocks that are near there. And the scary thing, I guess, is that they can live several months without eating. And so, you know, they can be there, and someone may not even know it for a while until they get bitten.
I read somewhere that they actually can be behind wallpaper, which really gave me the creeps.
Yes, yes, they can.
So basically, they're endemic. I mean, they're everywhere, and I think they reproduce at such a rapid rate that it can become an infestation very quickly.
It can, and I think that's the one concern, is that once you get them somewhere, it's very easy to transmit because they're so tiny. You can't see them unless you're really looking for them. So a lot of times you have to look for kind of what looks like dried blood, which is kind of their feces,
their excrement.
On the sheets or the bedspread.
So little tiny red dots or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So, but otherwise you may not see the live animal and the live bed bug. And so you can very easily get into your clothes and your suitcase. It can travel very easily. And because they live so long, that you may not even know you bring them home or you bring them somewhere else when you're transporting your clothes.
It sounds like a nightmare, actually.
Well, I think it is for the people who actually get it. So it's...
Yeah. Well, how do they actually survive, though? I mean, what's their mechanism of life, the bed bug?
I can't tell you exactly why they can go for several months without feeding, but their system obviously allows them not to metabolize or not to use energy very much, and they don't tend to move very far. They can go 8 to 10 feet, but they tend to stay in the same place, so they're not using a lot of energy. Because
They're not jumpers like, I think, lice are jumpers, and they basically are blood suckers, though. Isn't that the key thing?
Yes.
How is it that they bite you and you don't know it?
Well, they inject actually something into your skin that almost anesthetizes it. Makes you not realize that you're getting bitten. And usually you're sleeping, because that's when they usually bite.
So they're nocturnal also.
They're nocturnal. So people will wake up the next day and see these red bumps on their neck, their face, their arms, and it may not even bother them. For some people, it can be very itchy, and that's one of the problems. If you start scratching, the bug itself doesn't cause disease, but if you start scratching, you can get an infection. And then that may cause you a problem. Some people are allergic and can have what we call anaphylaxis or have a very bad allergic reaction, but that's very, very rare.
Yeah. It's very interesting, though, that that I think it's a significant to recognize that they don't really carry a disease, much like some of the other pests of that type, like, mosquitoes that carry equine,
encephalitis
or malaria or dengue fever or the deer ticks that carry Lyme disease.
Right.
These really do not, they carry no pathogen. It's just the bite itself that creates the annoyance or, as you said, the infection.
Right.
So in a way, it makes it a little less frightening. I mean, that's kind of the good news.
That is the good news, is that you're not going to get a disease by getting bitten. It's only the reaction that may cause you a problem, or if you scratch them and then get infected, then it may cause you a problem.
Is there any particular pattern to the kinds of bites or how they look, so that somebody could recognize quickly that this is what they had?
Well, it looks like just a very tiny, almost red blister, because they are blood sucking, so it's a little red blister. But other red blister, you can have other blister-looking lesions that may not be this. I think you just have to be aware of, did this happen when you, went to sleep in a bed in a hotel and now you woke up and you didn't have these the day before? That may be that you might have been exposed to bed bugs.
And are they generally itchy? I mean, I know mosquito bites are terribly itchy. Are these generally
itchy?
Most
people will find them slightly itchy. Some people will not bother at all.
Mm-hmm. So in effect, why would you say they're so difficult to deal with? Obviously, you pointed out that they live long without feeding, which is clearly a major problem. But is it also that they're very hard to find?
As I said, they are very difficult to find. You have to really look carefully to see the actual bug if they're there. If you're looking, if you're pulling up the sheets in a hotel room and looking at the mattress, which most people don't do.
I was going to say that's kind of an odd idea to, and I imagine maybe these days people are doing it with the high profile cases we've heard about. But if you go into a fancy hotel or any hotel for that matter, I can't imagine ripping the sheets off the bed.
Right. Most people aren't going to do that, so they're not aware. They'll sit on the bed. They'll put their clothes on the bed. They'll do things where then the bug can get into their clothes, get into their suitcase, they're transporting it home, or they're transporting it to the next place they go, and they don't even realize it. And sometimes, if you don't feel itchy, if you don't have a reaction, you may not even realize that you may have gotten bitten and transported it home on your clothes.
So there are some people, for example, who can live with bed bugs and never get bitten, or get bitten minimally, maybe?
Well, they'll get bitten, but they may not recognize it.
It doesn't
impact.
It may
not be an issue.
Yeah. So what is the treatment, though? Let's say you wake up in the morning, and whether it's home after a trip or at a hotel, and you notice you've got bites, what do you do about it?
Well, the first thing would be not to scratch it if it's itchy. So you may take a medication that would, like something like Benadryl, or something, some antihistamine that would help you not feel that itchiness and want to scratch it. Make sure you keep it clean, area clean.
How about old-fashioned remedies like calamine lotion, things like that? Do you think they're of any help?
That may work. It depends on what you use, but something, you just want to make sure you're not scratching yourself and getting it infected.
So infection. And if you were to get infected, what I'm hearing is that the two major things to be concerned about are either an infection or an allergic reaction.
Right.
And obviously an allergic reaction, you would know immediately and you would have to seek medical attention then. But with an infection?
Well, it would look just like any other, a mosquito bite or anything else that you may have scratched and gotten infected. It would be red. It would be warm. You might have some pus coming out of it. So anything like that, you may want to seek medical attention for.
Yeah, because clearly if you ran a fever, then you would really run the risk. So basically, what do people do to get rid of them, or how can you get rid of them? First, let me ask this question. Have they made it up the thruway to Central New York?
I haven't heard that we've had a large epidemic here in Central New York yet. It doesn't mean that people don't have them or haven't brought them in from going other places that they visited. But certainly it's not at the epidemic proportions where we're seeing, like someplace like New York City, where they've had to close down movie theaters, they've had to close down stores and try and eradicate the problem. It's in apartment buildings. So that in New York City, it's a big problem right now. What I would say is that you really do have to, if you think you have bed bugs, I would contact an exterminator, a pest control person, because that's one of the first things. They usually try and do several things in conjunction. So they may use heat treatments. They may use, they try and use the chemicals the least. Clearly, washing sheets and clothing at extremely hot temperatures will kill them.
They will.
So
doing
that will help. Obviously, you need to look the extent of it, but if it's just, let's say, in a bedroom, making sure you're cleaning everything thoroughly, vacuuming to try and get rid of them. But certainly, you would need to call a pest control person, and it may take more than one treatment, and that's one of the economical issues here, is that it's not just a public health concern from the health perspective, but this can be extremely costly if you get them, because it's going to take several treatments to get rid of the problem.
In the just couple of minutes we have left, tell me what you would advise people to avoid, or how they could prevent getting bed bugs if possible.
Well, certainly if you're traveling and you're going to stay somewhere, I would call and ask. Ask the hotel, have you had any problem with bed bugs? When you go in the hotel, I would open up the sheets and see if you can see any what look like red dots or anything on the sheets that look like there may have been some bug excrement on there. You may want to pull up the sheets and look at the mattress to see if you can do it. But I think one of the things when you're there is really keeping everything either hung up or in your suitcase, and keeping your suitcase closed, because you want to prevent the bugs from traveling into your suitcase.
Well, that's very good advice. It's an icky subject, but Dr. Donna Bakke, Associate Professor and Chair of Public Health and Preventive Medicine at Upstate University, thanks a lot for coming in and helping us with this very difficult problem. We have to take a short break. Please stay right there. We'll be right back. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air 570 WSYR.